Welcome to the show. This is your host, David Yanez, and you're listening to Midwatch with the Rev. God bless you. Thank you for tuning in, and thank you for being a part of our broadcast today. Our address is Revelation Ministries, P.O. Box 5172, Kingwood, Texas, 77325. And you can always email me, david@revmedianetwork.com. Today's guest we're going to have on the second segment, Miss Renee Metzler. Now, hopefully I'm pronouncing her name right before I bring her on the air at 11:35. We will definitely converse on that and make sure. I want to make sure I pronounce all my guests' as names correct. We've been having a great, great broadcast, and I've been really excited about some of the things that are coming up in our future for this station. We're just putting together the TV part of the station, and I know we've been talking about this for a year, and you know, TV is definitely different than radio, and we have to be able to do the signal in a different way, and it takes a lot of the bandwidth that we do here, so we had to make some upgrades before we could even have that, and we had to wait 2 or 3 months for Comcast to finally come out here and do what they're supposed to do. But now we have a fiber optics, and we're able to do this from the station and still continue the radio station, which is important because we have a lot of people listening to the radio station, and it's important that the signals are taken care of and that they are still going out. I mean, we have 4 channels now. We have the talk channel, which you're hearing me right now on. Then we have the music channel, which you have guests that artists that just play beautiful music and anointed music. And then we have the sermon channel, and then the sermon channel, which we got to update it. We got to do some things to that one, but it's still pretty good. And then we have the counseling and prayer channel featuring June Hunt and several other ministers and counselors on there. And every time you turn on these channels, whether in Rev Media Network, Rev Ministries, wherever the players are at, you are going to get something blessed, and you're going to be anointed. And it's not just like I always tell people, they always and especially some of my publicists, and I don't want to offend any of them, because they send us great stuff. They're always saying, oh, so you're podcasting. No, a podcast is a one-time broadcast, and that's it. We are a station because we have a 24/7 signal going out through the internet and touching people's lives. Now, no, none of them don't know the term podcasting means a single broadcast at a specific time. And that's it. But we're a 24/7 signal. Anytime you come on the channels or on the players, I call them channels, anytime you turn on one of the channels, you're going to be coming in at the time of wherever that broadcast is at the moment. So right now I just had to turn off June Hunt. She was on the talk channel, and I had to intercept and come in. And that's the same thing that happens every time you turn on the player. You're going to be able to hear a new song or whatever song's playing. You're going to go right into it, just like you're switching dials at home. Dials. Can you tell I'm old on that stuff? Dials. But you're going to be flipping channels is probably the best word to use now. Flipping channels. And at home, just flipping from USA to TNT to Sci-Fi and some of the in A&E and some of the channels that I always flip to back and forth to see what's on, if Criminal Minds is on or it's SVU on, so you know it's just different things that we do, and that's the same thing you're gonna get when you come to our station. You're gonna be able to go through our channels, and you're gonna be able to listen to different things, and you know, and a lot of people ask me, well, why do you have 4 channels? Why don't you just put music and talk shows and everything on just one single channel? I'm like, you know, years ago God gave me this idea, gave me this vision to have something with several channels playing, and I didn't start broadcasting. I almost said podcasting. I didn't start broadcasting until years later, and I didn't know how I was going to do it. But God has a way, and He always has a way, and it just takes time to get yourself in the right mind, the right place, the right spirit that you need to do the things that God has for you. And when we were able to broadcast one channel, I just hit me. I can do 2 channels, 3 channels, 4 channels, all different flavors. Because, you know, you may just want to hear music. And then that channel, that's all it has. You may just want to have a sermon, a good sermon. You maybe need a good sermon. Well, that's where the sermon channel is there. And then there's the counseling and prayer channel, because you just need some direction on things, and you have some issues that you want to. You don't want to really have to go and find someone to talk to you, and maybe a good talk show of counseling may help you. And of course, that's our counseling and prayer channel. So there's David Wood is on there, and it's Pray America Live. And I got to get some more programs, because that one is actually the only shows I get is what he sends me. Mostly everybody else I can go online and pull them and put them on there. So I got to actually have to have a good meeting with him and see what's going on. But he has some transitions coming on along in his ministry as well. They're going to be starting doing television and stuff as well as radio. So I think that's where a lot of his attention is. So I have to help him and figure out how I can get more of his products. But anyway, that's the Counseling and Prayer channel. And that will help people in itself. And of course, my baby, I call it my baby, Channel 1, the talk radio channel, is the broadcasting area that I broadcast from. And you hear a lot of the Midwatch shows, but we have so many people. We have Licensed to Parent. We have Dwight Allen's Second Look at Sports. We have Divine Intervention. We have Hope for the Heart. Of course, we have Midwatch with the Rev, which is me. We have so many other ministers on here, but those are a few of the main meat of our broadcast is those, and we're able to touch a lot of people. And I'm just reminding myself that I need to put Licensed to Parent on as soon as we're done with our broadcast today. And they usually broadcast at 10:30, and it's still a time adjustment on our end that I'm just going to have to start setting the thing to run at that time. But this is what we do. This is how we minister. This is a part of what the big picture is. But the radio channel is what started this whole media broadcasting ministry. So I am completely faithful to it. And we're starting a Spanish channel. And I was supposed to have our new Spanish pastor for the church. We're starting we're opening up the door for a Spanish ministry to come in and do some services and see if a church can be established for him. And his name is Edwin Ramirez, and we'll be playing some of his music on our music channel. And we're creating a Spanish channel, which is going to have everything: sermons, broadcast shows like TV shows, radio shows, and also music. So we're going to be all on one thing, and so when you click on that, you'll have music, you'll have everything. It'll be kind of a mixture of stuff. I'm going to try it that way, see if that works, because it's a different language. I'm able to just run it all through the one channel. So we'll see. We'll see what God does and see how God does it. And he's supposed to be here, but he didn't show up. He probably got pulled over on something and had to get something else done when you're starting a ministry. And anyway, Edwin Ramirez, we'll see him another time, and we're just going to go on. Praise God. Well, we have had some interesting guests. I don't know what God is doing, but on the last few days, we've had everything. And for those that don't remember, the women's webcast from Kriegel is on today at 7 Central Standard Time. And we've had several women that have just been a blessing, that have been a ministry blessing to us, and just sharing their testimonies and being a part of our entire broadcast was nice. I mean, we didn't plan it out this way, but they just happened to get all the broadcasts together at one time, all the women to broadcast. Of course, yesterday we had Miss, and I'm looking at all the paperwork. But we had Kim Cotola the other day, and we had Tesk Drake, and yesterday, of course, this everything that we're doing. It's just amazing to see everything that we're working on. And, of course, we had Kim Cotola. We had Don Scott Jones yesterday. And it's just amazing. There's so many of these books that they put out between each other that they're doing a webcast called Women Redeemed. It'll be 7 Central Standard Time today, tonight. And you'll be able to go to Facebook / Kriegel Books. And or you can go to any of their websites, and let me find one of their websites. Scott, I believe it's scottjones.com. You can go there. And I'm looking at all my notes from the show, and I'm horrible with these notes. But either way, please visit their website. And I'm going to give you Dawn Scott Jones. It'll be, her website is, drum roll please, Don Jones. I wasn't even close either way. .org. DonJones.org. Go to DonJones.org. She was on yesterday. Very fire-driven woman. Very, very loving. And her book is How to Love a Woman That You Know That's Been Abused. How to Love a Woman. Let me get you the pronunciation correct before I hack it up any worse. When a woman you love was abused. A husband's guide to help her overcome childhood sexual molestation. And that's a good one. And Tesk Drake, his hope for today promises tomorrow. Finding light beyond the shadow of miscarriage and infant loss. And then Cradle My Heart, finding God's love after abortion. Kim Cattola. Every one of those guests were wonderful these past 3 days. And I got to recommend them to tell you that you have to get their material, or at least go to the website and get the free broadcast. Register, get on the broadcast, listen to what they got to say. God is doing something. Last week we had Tammy Kennedy and another guest, and they shared about getting over about being sexually abused. Let's just call it what it is. And I don't know what God is doing. Today, it's going to be a whole different take on this. We're going to be doing something else with it, but we've been having a lot more women authors on the show, and I've enjoyed it because they just have something for those that are out there that they need to hear. And it's good. It's good. Well, my trip to Russia is planned and still up in the air. I guess I can say it the best way to say it. I just got off the phone with a good man of God who I count as a good sounding board. You know, you always need someone in your life that knows you, knows your habits, knows your intent, knows what you would do, and just to keep you accountable. And I was invited to Kenya, and I haven't been feeling it lately on this trip. And there's some reservations, nothing to do with the ministry or anything like that. It's just things that I'm expecting. And when you go into something, and I'm gonna give you some advice when you're doing mission work and when you're working with people from overseas, is make sure there's understanding. Okay. Make sure that there is an understanding, that you are going to get there and do the things you expect to do. And make sure that you understand what they expect you to do, what their expectation. If everyone comes in, and I got this advice from in a hotel with a ministry leader, a doctor of theology out there, and we had some issues from one of my trips, and we had to deal with it. And he said, just make sure that everything you expect to be done is done. That way there's no disappointment. There's no extra cost. And then make sure that everything that they expect you to do is done. And make sure there's an understanding between the two. It sounds simple, but when you're working on emails and phone calls, and okay, I'll send the money. Yeah, you know, it just doesn't work out that way sometimes. So I kind of just bowed out on that part of the trip. We're still going to go to India, and I'm setting up another thing in Africa, so we will spend some time there. So the people are traveling with it, and I really feel, and this is, I'm going to put this out on the air, and whatever happens, happens, but we're going to trust God with this. And I really feel that, you know, God has allowed me to get to these nations first, and not first like no one else has been there, but, you know, first go to these places and make the relationships and find the right place that he wants us to minister through. India was a given because I've worked in it so many years. But now I'm going to Russia. I'm going to go back to Kenya, and I'm going to view another ministry. A ministry reviewed, you know, we just couldn't put it together on the things we wanted. Nothing wrong with them. You know, blessed be God. We're just going to keep going and keep going forward. And we're going to be doing other things. But I really believe God's putting it together to bring ministers that have never been on a mission trip or that really want to go so badly in their heart to a mission trip. And he's bringing all these things together. He is. And I really believe it's for me to bring those ministers out there and do the work that I'm doing to give me some well-needed help and assistance and a bigger plan. Because, you know, if I can only do so many services in a day, but if I have four people doing the same thing I'm doing, or something like the pastors' conferences, which I normally don't do, and the leader conferences, and I bring ministers that have a heart for that, and I'm more effective doing the outreaching and evangelism and soul winning and healing services, and that's my effectiveness, and I know it. And I can do the pastors' conferences, but, you know, I prefer the other thing because that's what I know I'm good at. You just do what you do. I was sharing with my sons today as we were driving and as we were dropping off them at school. No, they weren't driving. I was driving. Praise God. They're only in middle school. And I was sharing with them the very simple thing that you got to do what you're built to do. You got to, because you can do other things and for a while that's fine, but you got to do what you're built to do. And I use an analogy, and forgive me if this is offensive to anyone, but I tell them, I loved Darrell Earnhardt and just driving and just his how he drove, and he was known as the Intimidator. But the one race that he did lose his life was when he was being passive and being a blocker and making sure that, on the team part, he was the one that was blocking and helping his son get to the checkered flag because his son had the advantage, and he was making sure that he cleared the ways for him. And it wasn't his role. It wasn't his natural job. It wasn't his ability was in other things. Not that he was a great driver, awesome driver, but unfortunately he did lose his life. And not to use it in a wrong way, but just saying that, sometimes when we're not doing what we're naturally built to do, there's risk. And when you're going overseas, there's always risk, no matter what. When you step out of the United States of America or whatever country you're in, but I can only speak for the USA because I live here, and God bless it that I live here, that I just can't leave this country not doing what I naturally do in ministry. I mean, it's good to visit places, it's good to shake hands, but I'm not going out there for vacation. I'm going out there to do the work of God, and the work of God is I know how to do it, which is outreaching, going to places, ministering, and you got to find that kind of connection, because if you go places and you're disappointed, it's just not gonna, it's gonna keep you from doing other things. Oh boy, if we can just, one day we're gonna talk about disappointment, and we'll talk about that. I'm gonna write that note down. We're gonna talk about disappointment and understand, the pressures that it does in your life. The things that makes you not to do when you get disappointed. And I really believe that. So anyway, that trip is being, how would they say, rebooted. We're rebooting it. Kenya rebooted. We went to Kenya. It was good, but it wasn't great. And we have a great ministry that we could work with, but unfortunately those things aren't going to happen the way we feel that they need to happen. And we're going to keep going forward, and we're going to believe God to do things for us. And I trust him. Oh, I trust God so much. A lot of people think, well, why do you go places? And why are you okay? You've been there? You've done this? And I got to tell you the truth, my friends. Half the time I go places, I just go. And I trust God because I know he loves me. I know he cares about me. I know there's not going to be an issue, that things will be okay. Now, I would rather land in Kenya and have to find places instead of land in India and have to find places. They're two different regions and two entirely different communities and lifestyles. There's very English-speaking people in Kenya, so you're going to be okay. And India, no, not that well. So I know India pretty well now that I can go there and I'm comfortable. But if I just to take a flight and land, it'd probably be Kenya. Because I can just do it. I can do a lot of things over there when I get off the plane. Because it's very, in very English, very very Britain. So we're okay when we go there. But either way, my friends, we'll be back in just a minute. We're gonna be back with Renee, and we will be back in just about 5 minutes. God bless.
A 60-second look at sports with Dr. Dwight Allen.
A billboard of Chicago White Sox spring training camp who won the 2006 World Series reads, "If you first succeed, repeat." Former Yankee Joe Girardi on manager Joe Torre, his best skill as a leader was he always made you feel safe with him. He left you with the feeling that we'll be okay if we stick together. With Joe, I always felt safe coming to the clubhouse. Benjamin Franklin, if you're willing to give up credit, you can get anything done. Shaquille O'Neal at age 34. The older you get, the wiser you get, and the wise man always wins. And someone said, character is whatever it takes to stop you. For more quotes, go to asecondlookatsports.org.
Are you disappointed with church? Maybe you were disillusioned or observed a lack of ethics in church leadership, and now you feel isolated. Well, join the club. I too once felt like an outcast, but maybe God was testing us to see what we would do. Perhaps He led us through that wilderness, tested and humbled us, so that we might learn that man shall not live by bread alone. The question is, have we passed the test, or will we continue to wander? God says, "For the hurt of my people, I am hurt. I am mourning. Is there no balm in Gilead?" Well, maybe it's time to put that hurt behind us. There is a balm in Gilead. Let's not be hasty and say all men are liars. Come join a bunch of truth seekers at Church of the King, 7401 North Ware Road, just south of Trenton. Side with God against yourself, and you can't lose. ChurchOfTheKingMcAllen.com, 585-4402.
At the end of chapter 2 in the Epistle of James, we read that mercy triumphs over judgment. And just as well it does, because mercy is God not giving us what we do deserve. And we deserve to go to hell for the lifestyle that we have lived. But because of the mercy of God, He has called us into His kingdom, and we will, if we repent and confess our sins, we will not be judged and sent to hell, but we will be judged righteous because of what Jesus has done for us and spend eternity with God in heaven. God has shown us great mercy, and as Christians, we should show mercy to those around us. When people come to us and try to take advantage of us, we shouldn't be judging them. We should be reaching out with love towards them. Can we do that today? To find out more, visit thewaycm.com. Thank you.
Could extensive use of electronic gadgets be harming your child's brain? It could be anhedonia. Hi, I'm Trace Embry from Shepherd's Hill Farm with something to think about. Because kids who suffer from anhedonia find it difficult to engage in activities that fail to give them the adrenaline rush they're so accustomed to, school studies and homework have become regarded as too mentally taxing for them. Bible study is virtually impossible. Anhedonia is a real chemical problem in the brain that seems to be resulting in an entire generation devoid of biblical knowledge or want. This leads us to a negative residual effect that almost no parent or youth worker has considered. Parents, we must put pleasure and entertainment limits on our kids for the sake of preserving not only their hearts and minds, but the future of the American church.
Learn more about this topic at shfteens.org. Shepherd's Hill Farm is here to serve hurting families with teens in crisis. If you have a teenager with behavioral issues, we can help. Contact us at shfteens.org.
Economically, spiritually, and morally, America is in a state of emergency. But you can make a difference because prayer changes things. 2 Chronicles 7:14 states, "If my people which are called by my name shall humble themselves and pray, then God will heal the land." Join us this September on the 28th and 29th in Philadelphia, Pennsylvania for a solemn assembly at Independence Mall, and let your voice be heard at the place where America was born. Stand up for righteousness as multitudes gather to turn to our only hope for transformation, America for Jesus 2012. Register online today at AmericaForJesus2012.org. Answer the call to prayer and join us at America for Jesus 2012 on September 28th and 29th on Independence Mall in Philadelphia, Pennsylvania.
Welcome back to the show. This is your host, David Yanis, and you're listening to, of course, our 10-second promo. Okay, that's enough of that. Anyway, we're back. We're back, and of course, you know, what would be a week without a couple of oops and stuff on the station? Anyway, we had a great first segment. You had me. And normally we have a guest, but you had me just talking about different things, missions and stuff, and I hope I encourage you. But now we have a really good guest, and not that I wasn't a good guest, but we have a wonderful guest, Renee Metzler. Am I saying your name correctly?
Yes, you are.
Well, welcome to the show. And I just didn't want to hammer your name, and I think I was pronouncing it correctly when I was pre-introducing you during the first segment, but I wasn't quite sure.
Nope, you're great.
Amen. Well, tell us about yourself, Renee. Everybody here, we've had a lot of authors coming through, and I want them to identify with you. So I want you to share some information about you, whatever you want to share, and mainly really just tell us who you are, how you came to the Lord, and then we'll jump into your book in a little bit, okay?
Okay, sounds good. I'm Renee Metzler. I would say first and foremost, I'm a follower of Jesus. I'm a wife, mom, and I went to church all my life, and in 2009, God just started kind of stripping things out of my life. I had done a job. I had my own sales business with Mary Kay Cosmetics, and we were about 4 years into that, and I just felt like God was trying to get my attention, and he wanted to do something new with my life. So that was a turning point. 2009 was a turning point in my life where God just kind of placed a hunger inside of me, and I wanted more of him. And I what I mean by more of him is I had done the to-do list. I had done the whole outward, you know, Christian appearance and trying to, it was more of an outward rather than an inward. And so now it was time for me just to get more intimate with God. And, you know, the verse, Jeremiah 33:3, is call to me and I will answer you and I will tell you great and mighty things which you do not know. And that is a promise from the Lord. And that is basically a picture of what I did in 2009. He put a hunger there. I was like if you can just imagine a crying, hungry infant on a bed, spiritually, that's where I was at. I needed the presence of God. And so out of that, God kind of walks us into our destiny, and we start to listen to our heart a little more. And that's where my book really stemmed out of, from seeking God and knowing that there is more than just the rat race of life and doing the outward thing. But getting inward and growing ourselves spiritually. I don't know if that explains a little bit where I'm coming from.
that explains it. Now we're talking to Renee, and she has made the book Total Home Makeover, Renew Your Space and Your Spirit. And that's like a play on words there, Total Home Makeover.
Yeah.
Tell us how you came up with the title.
Actually, that title, this the whole concept of Total Home Makeover, I had went from career woman to a stay-at-home mom about 10 years ago, and I was really feeling lost. The world had told me, go to school, get a career, pursue the material things of life, and I had gone down that course. I tried to follow, I am a teacher at heart, I had tried to follow, you know, what are some of my giftings, and but when I chose to be that full-time stay-at-home mom, I really felt lost with all that unstructured time in my day, and I needed to kind of prioritize my life and say, okay, what's going to be first, what's going to be second in my life, and how is that going to play out in my day? What am I going to do with my day, and how can I manage my home well? And so that kind of sent me on a journey of, are there secrets to the trade of home management? Can I do this better? And as I was researching ways to manage a home better, I found that there really are secrets to managing your home better. There really are ways that you can do it that you are being proactive rather than reactive. And by reactive, I mean a lot of people chase after messes, and that was me. I saw a mess in my home, I would chase after that mess. And being proactive means you're doing the things that need done every day and every week, so you're avoiding crisis mode. You're not, you know, like moments like, and maybe the listeners can relate to this, I'm completely out of clean clothes, so I will have to stay up to midnight to get laundry done for the next day, or I need to cook dinner and all my dishes are dirty. So I those aren't good places to be in. And so I I learned that there are ways to manage our home better, and so I wanted to share it, and the idea of putting this in book form began. I thought there's got to be other women out there that need this information.
Oh, absolutely.
And actually, one night I was laying in bed, and Total Home Makeover, the title, just literally popped into my mind. And I believe that was 10 years ago. I don't know when Dave Ramsey's book came out, but I believe it was even before that book. And so this has been a 10-year process, and my publisher, Ambassador International, said, you know what, let's keep the title, Total Home Makeover. They liked it.
Amen. I mean, I love it as well. And did you see that there was a need as well? Because I know you came from the professional full-time job, and then you went to home full-time. You know, did you see there was a need to help people translate the difference?
I did. I really did. Coming from that background myself, I recognize that, you know, I think in our American culture, the message has been out there to, you know what, go for the career and get trained. And ironically, we all live in a home. And I think we all have a desire to have our homes be orderly and just have it be like a sanctuary where we invite God into our home, but also to represent order and beauty in our home. And I think that's what people really like. That's why they, you know, home magazines do so well, because people look at those pictures and they say, wow, I want my home to look like that. And so there really is a process that you can go through to get to that point. You really can have order and beauty. So I think, you know, no matter what place you're at in your life, whether you're a career woman, full-time home manager, I'm thinking of homeschool moms, young, old, you can go through the structured process and you can have order and beauty in your home. It doesn't have to take up your entire life.
Now, is everyone capable of following this structured path to organization?
Absolutely. And I think the key, though, is that you really do want the change. And just like when you start a diet, it's all about changing your habits. Total Home Makeover is a little like that. The changes aren't harsh. I had a picture of, you know, this 20-day plan. It's Total Home Makeover. It's actually a 20-day plan. It's sort of like getting into a boat. And, you know, behind you is this town called chaos. In front of you is a town called order. And we all want to arrive there. We all want our homes to have that order and beauty. But the first person in that boat is ourselves. And so that's why in the very first phase of this book, you're working on transforming yourself. And we do that through daily and weekly routines. We're just renewing our habits so that we can, instead of leaving a trail of trash, when we get up in the mornings, we get ready, we probably go out the door or we do something for the day. We can either have habits that leave behind a trail of trash that makes more work for us, or we can do things that actually would bring order in the end. So it's actually just tweaking what you're already doing. But, you know, so transforming you is first, but then to get to order, you kind of have to get your family on board, too, because we all know that kids can leave a lot of mess behind. I have two of them, I know. So we got to get them on board, and then also, finally, then we move into phase three with our home, and that's where we really get to go through and make our rooms have a purpose and kind of clear out the things that we really don't need. Like, wow. All the clutter and whatnot.
Now your husband and your daughters, what was their thoughts when you told them you were going to put this book together?
Well, they were very encouraging, actually. Yeah, when I had quit my previous career, I remember there was a day where my she's my oldest daughter. She's about 10 years old, Daphne. She came home from school one day, and out of the blue, she's like, Mom, I just think you're supposed to quit what you're doing and finish your book. And so I have had a lot of encouragement from my family.
Amen, amen. And your husband, what do you think?
He's delighted. He's a very encouraging person. And, yeah, he definitely kept prodding me and saying, finish it, take the risk, put it in front of some publishers. And, of course, the publishing journey is always interesting, too. I had some bumps, but God opened the door to Ambassador, and it's been really amazing to work with them.
And how's it been received?
You know, it is literally just hitting the market now. So far, the readers and the reviewers that I've had have loved it. I think probably the biggest thing is they feel it's very attainable. And that was my goal. I wanted women that kind of day-by-day plan so they wouldn't feel overwhelmed with the whole big picture.
Oh, wow.
And
yeah, that's good.
Yeah, but I feel like it's being well-received overall, yeah.
And what changes can people expect in the first 20 days?
Well, we're a total home makeover. yeah, they are the very first thing that I love is that we focus on renewing their space. And one of the things is they're going to break into proactive home management, and I talked a little bit about that earlier.
Okay.
But, you know, instead of being in that crisis mode, I'm chasing this mess, I'm chasing that mess, I'm reacting, you kind of feel like you never get done. And that's just not a good place to be. So breaking into proactive home management is so key, and you just feel so much more in control when you're doing the things that need done every day and every week. That's why we start out in phase one with transforming you. When you start doing those daily and weekly routines, even on the first day, you're going to feel the difference. I've had readers say, you know, I just feel so much more in control now that I'm doing my daily and weekly routine. So that is so key. The other thing is you're going to transform your family's habits to bring order. And, you know, that is huge.
It is. That is very huge.
Yeah. And, you know, our families, it is our responsibility. Some people will say, well, you know, my family, they don't really care. But, you know, it's amazing that when you start taking responsibility for yourself and you can say, you know, I'm doing this to bring order. I know we all want a beautiful environment, but now I want us all to get on board. And when you kind of take that lead as the home manager in the home, they're more willing to come alongside you. And so we use chore charts, a daily chore time. There's different tools that I have included in the book for the reader to go ahead and grab, and so that you can transform your family's habits to bring order. And then finally, in phase three, the reader can expect to organize each room. Now, depending on the level of clutter and chaos that they might be at, it may take longer than that 20-day time period, and that is okay. I recommend to the reader to actually just, you know, choose, like if we're in the kitchen, if you can't do all your cupboards, choose one. Choose the spice cabinet, whatever. But if you continue moving and applying the principles in this book, you will reach order. So that is generally what they can expect with renewing their space. There's a portion in the book that's about renewing your spirit, and I'm really excited about that part. My heart is that through the daily renewal that I've included, the woman is given a Bible verse, she's also given a prayer and a journal prompt, and it's all designed to help her get into her heart more and listen to God and hear His voice. So my hope is that there will be a bit of a spiritual awakening and that people will just get kind of deeper with God through that time.
Amen. Now, what is the hardest steps what is the hardest step that you think for most people are in these 20 days?
Oh, that's a really good question.
Well, what was your hardest step?
what immediately popped into my mind is I think, you know, as a whole, Americans have kind of bought into for a long time that if we just kind of enter the rat race and if we get that next gadget and more and more and more, that is kind of what has created the situation in our homes where we have just too much stuff laying around and it's not really being used. And so I think it's with the mentality. If we can just, instead of saying, I need more and more and more, and say, you know what, I just want to manage well what I already have. If we can change our mentality to that focus, start managing well what I already have, and put our priorities in line of each day I'm going to seek God first, and then I'm going to take care of my family and have a good relationship with my family. And then, you know, and taking care of my home is serving my family. That's part of it. And then maybe focusing on developing my spiritual and physical gifts. If we can arrange our lives through that and kind of step out of that rat race of buying more and more and more, which is a lie anyway. It doesn't bring true happiness. I think that mentality change is the hardest step, but once you get it, it's actually, it becomes very easy.
Amen. Now, what is something that many moms will struggle with?
Well, you know, that kind of brings me back into a time in my life where, you know, when I first made this change to being a full-time mom at home, and of course, you know, every mom's in a different situation. Some don't have that opportunity. Some feel that's not best for them. But wherever they're at, that was my choice. I found myself in a place where my husband had a very busy job, so he was gone a lot during the week, and I was kind of almost playing full-time mom, full-time home manager, all on my own Monday through Friday. And my first child was colicky, so I was holding a crying baby many, many hours out of those days, so just feeling very overwhelmed. And I think moms can really feel overwhelmed. And if we don't have structure in our day, I believe that that will really start to add, that can be one of the hardest things for a mom, because she had structure all her life. You know, she went to school, she may have gotten a career, she may have worked her job, but now she's at home and now she gets to structure her own time. And I think that's the hardest challenge, to learn how to structure your day so that you have that orderly environment, so you don't, so you feel like you have some control to your day. And I think, you know, when moms can kind of grasp these concepts of structuring their day, their lives will run more smoothly.
So would you say that a house that feels like it's out of control, that there's just, you know, it just leaves like a little hysteria in the person's life?
I do.
I mean, just talking to you, I'm like, do. You know, my wife does pretty good at keeping everything in order, and she has a plan for each of us every day, what we got to take care of. And
right.
You know, but, you know, I didn't grow up like that. My mom wasn't like that. So, you know, it was kind of like a last minute this. Oh, what, you mean you need this clothes washed? You know, you should have gave it to me the other day. But it's like, we know, you know, my wife, she's the mom there, and she keeps us all in check,
and
I know exactly what, if something's out of place in the house, you know, we're hearing about it, like, okay, we need to put it back where it's supposed to be. So
you
expound on that a little.
Board.
Yeah. So I totally understand that, and I can see why, you know, someone that has had structure, and then they come into a place where there's chaos, I guess we could use the word chaos more, and it just, it, you know, it could leave someone to get a little depressed or a little upset with themselves or a little down, and you want to share on that?
Well, I do. I think, you know, when I first was that stay-at-home mom and I just didn't have those systems in place, there was a tendency for, I wouldn't say I was full-fledged depressed, but it is depressing to feel like you're constantly chasing after a mess. But there's so much hope in that, because there is a way to structure your day that makes you feel like, wow, I'm managing my home well. You know, I use the word home management. It sounds like your wife is a very great home manager already.
Yeah, so she does.
That's phenomenal, and you're benefiting from that, you know. But just like, you know, any manager, there's, you know, in life, even in jobs, there's good managers and there's poor managers. And, you know, when I first started, I felt like I was probably at a C-plus level. If I could have rated myself, I was like, man, my grade is probably a C-plus, because I just keep chasing, and I didn't have these good systems in place. But, you know, you can learn how to be a manager. That's not just a gift. You can learn those traits. And so what's beautiful is no one's stuck. Like, if you're currently feeling that chaos, like, you know, we all had times in our life where maybe we did have that chaos, you're not stuck. It's just time to apply some smarter principles, some smarter systems to your day, and all of a sudden things start turning around. So there's a lot of hope.
Amen. Amen. Now, you use a lot of resources, and you include a lot of them in the book. And I'm noticing that you also have, you know, you have planners, you have everything, everything in here. Share with people what they, I mean, it's just not a book to read. There's activities inside it. Explain some of that stuff.
Okay. First of all, let me just describe, like, when you get this book, the very first thing you do is just start at day one. So when you're ready to start, you open up to day one, and then each day what you're going to get is three things. You are going to get a daily renewal, which is a very short time to just, you know, get in the presence of God. That's a prayer, Bible verse, and a journal prompt, okay? Then I'm going to give you what I call, it's called Let's Chat. And that's where I'm just coaching you one-on-one. Again, this is very short. This doesn't take very long to read. And I'm going to tell you during the Let's Chat session one kind of key or secret to home management. So you're going to learn one thing each day so you don't get overwhelmed. And then the third thing you get each day is a get moving list. So this is not a sit down and read a book. This is a read a little, get up and apply it kind of book. All right. So the very first day I talk about daily routines. Then I give you the worksheet because I wanted to give the complete toolkit. I didn't want women to have to be like, oh, now I have to try and find a resource to create this great routine, you know. So, you know, what they do is they turn to the worksheet, they fill out the routine, they can pop it right on their fridge and start doing it every day. And right away they're going to start seeing changes. When you get into phase two, one of the tools I give them, phase two we're focusing on the family. One of the tools I give them for that is the family's chore chart. And so, again, you can pop that right on the fridge and talk to your family about it and just get moving with it right away. And then, of course, in phase three, I give them, when you're organizing, it's called design your room. Because a big part of organizing a room is actually having a vision of what do you want it to do in the first place. So there is some graph paper. You'll be designing a room. There's places where you can write what you want to give away, so you can do tax records. I pretty much walk people through the entire thing. To stay motivated at the end of each week, it's a kind of works Monday through Friday. Take a break for the weekend. Enjoy your family. You don't want to do this 20 days straight in a row. But each weekend, take a reward and celebrate yourself. And I call it the treasure trousseau. It's like, think of it as a treasure box. Open it up. There's different ideas of what you can do to kind of have fun and celebrate and just say, oh, I did a great job. Pat myself on the back. I get to paint my nails or do something that makes me feel good.
Amen. Amen.
Yeah.
So tell people how they can get your book.
Several ways. I am giving signed copies away right on my website. TotalHomeMakeover.com is just like the book, Total Home Makeover. You can purchase it right off of there. There are some free resources I wanted to, you know, let you know about. There's free printables. There's a fun little home IQ quiz with a cure for your chaos. And that's free to, you know, anyone who just wants to get on there and get a little direction and help. So there's lots of free resources. There's a online forum. It's called Total Home Makeover Club Online. You can sign up for that. The biggest thing with this book is I would recommend don't do it alone. Grab a friend, grab a small group, maybe even a larger women's organization. Meet weekly if you can, or at least call that friend or pop on the online forum. Do this with someone. So, the autographed copies would be right off of my website, TotalHomeMakeover.com. You can also get it at Amazon.com, BarnesandNobles.com, and it should be available in some of your local bookstores as well.
Amen. We're talking to Renee Metzler, and she's talking about her book, Total Home Makeover. We're excited about that. If your house doesn't have one, it needs a copy of this book, and the one that organizes the house needs to read this thing and get it together. Give them your website one more time, darlings.
That is TotalHomeMakeover.com.
Amen. Thank you so much for sharing with us and being on the show.
Yeah.
And
thank you.
We'd love to have you back, and you start getting some success stories and testimonies. Oh wow, we'd love to hear about them. And
thank you so much, David. Just contact us. Okay, thank you. I appreciate the time here today.
All right, God bless you. You take care.
God bless you.
Bye
bye.
Amen. That was a blessed interview. You know, it's needed. The house needs to be organized. Clutter-free. Not only that, it's going to build your spirit daily. I like that she included the devotional, and it helps build your life with God because it gives you the time slot to do that. It gives you the time slot to make that time happen, and it's good. It's good. So every house has to have something like this, and it's good. It's good reading, but it's good practice, and it gets you out there. It gets you doing something. And I hope you enjoyed that interview. We had a great guest today again, Ms. Renee Metzler. Her book is Total Home Makeover, Renew Your Space and Your Spirit. Amen and amen. You can get it at Amazon.com. You can go to her website, TotalHomeMakeover.com, get an autographed copy. And we're excited. And I'm always excited to bring someone to you that's different, that has a different take on things, but that's very strong spiritually, and it has something that can help bless your house. So, you know, that's what we try and do. And a lot of people's like, well, what's your format, Dave? Sometimes you're teaching. You know, sometimes, Rev, you're bringing people in for missions. Sometimes you're doing authors promos, and not really promos, but just getting them out there on the air. And I really believe this, my friend. If they have a call in their heart, whether they're an author, an artist, an entertainer, if they're a producer, a filmmaker, if they're a preacher or an evangelist, I'm going to have them on my show, and we're going to bring them to you so they can be a blessing in your life. And we expect, you know, just to see great people coming through, and we've had with this whole last 2 weeks has been phenomenal, and I get booked so quickly. When I open up the doors for the booking, it happens very quickly, and we're just excited to do that. In fact, we're ready booking up October, so it's gonna be blessed. Well, my friends, I will catch you next time on the Midwatch. And next week, we have Michael Norris. Michael Norris, that is Chuck Norris's son. Hoo-yah! Yes, we have him here. And he's going to be talking about his book, about his movie, I Am Gabriel. He's a producer in his own right. He does his own shows and stuff, and he's been working in the film business for a long time. So it's going to be awesome. I have some very good questions for him. All right, we'll catch you next time on the Midwatch. Email me, david@revmedianetwork.com. God bless you. We'll catch you next time on the Midwatch.
The views and opinions of our guests do not necessarily reflect the views and opinions of this station, this show, or its host.